We focused on this show very much on the medical, biological, physiological aspects of the coronavirus. But we haven't really asked what about the emotional and psychological aspects of it, because we are all in one way or another affected by this emotionally and psychologically. And many of us have been thinking about this. Some of you have already expressed concern about being isolated, feelings of isolation, feelings of alienation during this time. Professor Stephen Friedman wrote very well about the kind of divide that can occur in society during a pandemic of this nature. How do we work towards the opposite in what are really trying circumstances for so many South Africans at this point? Now, Dr. Dorian Wheel, you probably know her better as Dr. D from earlier 702 Days, has written a very interesting article entitled The Coronavirus Pandemic, Crisis and Opportunity. And she joins us now to talk us through this as a clinical psychologist. Dr. D, welcome to the program. Lovely to have you. And you've started your article so well by asking, many people are trying to figure out, first of all, why has this happened to us?
Look, life happens. No one is immune to life. We all experience some kind of challenge or crisis at a time or another, irrespective of what it may be. It may be a loss. It may be a huge financial disaster. It may be a job challenge, a relationship issue. And at those kind of times, sometimes you feel quite isolated and come up with things of, you know, why me? Why do bad things happen to good people? The fact is, it's not fair. But the fact is that it is fair, because life happens to everyone. This time, when something like this is going on, it's different, because all of us are in it together. And I think that what happens during that time is that there's a kind of coming together. Nothing joins people more, whether it's a country or even a relationship or whatever, than going through a really monumental shared emotional event, whether it's a positive event like we all felt during the transition, even to a less extent, say, the World Cup. There's a kind of unity, and those differences just become less central, certainly initially. So there's that kind of, I think people are saying, they experience a kind of understanding often. They see people behaving differently on the streets. Well, they should be on the streets. But there's a sort of an understanding of we all in this together. Now, this can change. And we hope that if our strategies for kind of flattening the curve, it doesn't change. But when people, there's another aspect to human nature. And that's when we're faced with huge, huge scarcity. The person who you were relating to as a kind of a in cooperation, as your brother, can suddenly become your rival.
Yes,
and
yes.
There's not enough food on the table, or there's a shortage of medical supplies. And so there's extremes of behavior in the face of this, you know, either from connection and understanding, which seems to be where we are now, to kind of just focusing on myself because of survival.
Yes, yes. You know, it's an interesting thing, because as someone said, this coronavirus is going to be a catalyst that is going to force us to see both the best and the worst of people. And we've already seen the worst in some ways in terms of the panic buying and the kind of selfishness around that, driven by fear. On the other hand, you know, we've seen some really beautiful acts of charity, people who want to give, who want to donate, who are looking out for people who are living alone, or the elderly, or the sickly, or the homeless. What sort of ethical choice are we faced with as human beings at this point, Dr. D?
Well, look, I think that those are the extremes. We see a lot of that. You know, there's sites where people, you know, this one funny thing is that I'm staying, you know, changes to, well, you know, I'm staying anyway, I'm definitely staying. Might as well help. You know what, do what we can, and people really want to. But I think the thing with this kind of thing is that you have to own the story. It is pretty scary, and it is really serious, and it's fraught with uncertainty. I don't think that there's any upside to minimizing it and to sort of pushing it under the carpet such that your emotional carpet starts looking like the Alps after a while. This is actually what we're dealing with. So we face it and own it, and then deal with it in a realistic and not in a panic way. It's also a time with social distancing and especially self-isolation to kind of think, right, how do I not let suffering go to waste? If I am going to go through this and I can't see people and I do feel the loneliness and isolation because people are really wired for connection.
Yes.
It's a time for a sort of a self-audit. You know, we understand what audits are of businesses and companies, but when do we stop, take stock, re-examine our goals? Where are we going? What's important to us and how do we want to spend our energy from now on? And these kind of things are coming to the fore. And they're questions of what priorities were, you know, and a different definition of abundance. Instead of doing things and having things, it's about connection and being rather than having. And so people are valuing relationships. They're seeing small things that they took for granted before, which are now becoming big things. You know, they're understanding that really you can't be in control with everything all the time. There has to be a balance in life of what you can control. And in this situation, it's your responses and how you choose to react to it. But you can't always control, as we're learning very strongly, of what happens to you. So how, and then, and with that comes a realization of, oh my goodness, you know what, the future is now. It's not one day where you kind of confront just a possibility of the seriousness and maybe even those thoughts that might come into your mind before you go to sleep of, are your parents and immortality or whatever. And you just think that, you know what, that it's not when I'm this or when I've got enough money. It's how, what shifts I want to start making now so that I can leave the situation, and it will pass. It definitely will pass, and but leave it just a little bit differently and hopefully a little bit more positively. And for that, Joanne, you know, what you have to have is some kind of optimistic worldview, not unrealistically optimistic, you know, not denying reality, but the kind of optimism that, you know, at the turn of the century, the father of psychology, good old Sigmund Freud, wrote about, and that is that that what makes a huge difference to people is something to look forward to. However bad things are now, this isn't going to last forever. And that kind of belief of a light at the end of the tunnel that isn't necessarily the light of an oncoming train are what drive people to continue to make shifts that are important, to consider other people, to prioritize relationships, and to prioritize themselves. They start living a little bit more from the inside out. Instead of, I must, I should, I have to, I've got to, you know, it's rather what is important to me. And what kind of shifts. And you're not really in touch with this in the beginning. No one really turns around and says, hey, Lord, thanks for this amazing learning opportunity that you're sending me today. There's too much stress, too much anxiety, too much uncertainty. But as it goes along, you start seeing little glimmers of aha in what you are valuing and what becomes important.
Lovely talking to you, Dr. Dorian Weil, clinical psychologist, better known as Dr. D.